So this week we have actually two separate parshiot. I mean, it's two which are combined. One is Parshat Tzav, and the other one is Parshat, it's called Shabbat HaGadol, which means we go back and we read in Shmot about Parshat Bo, when the Jews actually begin to leave Egypt. So let's take a look. I have the sources over here. So we're in Vayikra. Again, Parshat Tzav, the second parsha in the book of Vayikra. Vayidaber Hashem o Moshe lemor, tzav et Aharon ve'et banav lemor, zot Torat Olah. And what's interesting over here is, instead of what would be the usual, daber, el Aharon vayomer, over here it uses the word tzav. The word tzav, again, I would translate as command. That's the word which is used over here in the English, command Aharon. Rashi brings, and he's bringing from the Gemara, tzav, right, et, ein tzav ela lashon zeruz. The word tzav means that the person should be, well, it means a sense of quickness. Zrizut is when you do something quick. Zeruz is somebody who's fast. Ein tzav ela lashon zeruz. That means, or zeruz, which means the way that Rashi is understanding this, the way that he understands the verse, is that it's coming to teach us not just command him to do this action, but rather it's the mode of doing the action. The action should be done with a great deal of speed and with a great deal, well, maybe we'll leave without saying more comments about that, but it's not simply this is what you should do, but there is perhaps something special about doing this. If we continue and go back to the source, we see number three where Rashi got this from the Gemara in Kiddushin, Tanad Rabbi Yishmael, Kol Mokom Shneiras Tzav, Ela Zeruz. I mean, that's what it means, Tzav. Command somebody is not just to tell somebody. And command has this indication that a person should be doing this very quickly. In the other Parsha that we read, again, that's really what I'm trying to do, is to combine them together. In Parshat HaGadol, we read, among other things, to get the matzah ready. And there it says, Ushmartem et ha-matzot. So the question is what Ushmartem means. Some of us, I hope, have heard the phrase of Shmur matzah. Shmur matzah literally means matzah that was guarded. Ushmartem et ha-matzot. So you should guard the matzot. So Rashi writes, Ushmartem et ha-matzot, matzot, source 5, Shelo yavo lidei chimutz. So what does it mean that you should guard the matzot? Guard the matzot, that it shouldn't become chametz. So let's go back and just again think about this, because I really hope that this is something basic, understandable, and so on. What's the difference between bread and chametz? Which means, or bread and matzah, sorry. How do you turn something into matzah? So the answer is that you take water, you take flour, you mix it together, and matzah is bread which was not given the opportunity to rise. So how is it that it didn't rise? Well, that itself is probably a little more complicated than you know, and probably a little more complicated than I care to get into right now. But theoretically, I'm sure you've all heard of 18-minute matzot, and I'm being very superficial now. Theoretically, when you make matzah, you mix the water, mix the flour, you knead it together, and you don't let 18 minutes go by. And at that point, you will want to take it out of the oven. By the way, the Mishnah, when it talks about this, I said I wasn't going to get more complicated. It says that there are times that if it even begins to rise, then you smack it down, you put cold water on it, the things that you can do in order to make sure it doesn't turn into chametz. Now, this idea of shmura matzah, at least as Rashi is about to tell us, it means, what does it mean, shmartem et matzot? So it's a shmartem, is make sure it's not chametz, which means keep an eye on the clock, don't let too much time go by. And then Rashi adds something else, and this is going to be the thing which is really going to be the starting point for us. So Rashi adds, Shmartem et matzot, shelo yavo lidei chimutz. Make sure that it doesn't become chametz. Mikan amru, and here they teach, tafach, if it again starts to rise, totosh betzonein, then sprinkled cold water on it in order to calm it down and to make sure that it doesn't rise. Rabbi Yoshaya omer, al tie korei et hamatzot. In this verse, when it says "Ushmartem et matzot," guard the matzot, don't read it as if it said matzot, ela et hamitzvot. That this is not only talking about matzot. And again, I want to be obvious and then try to understand this teaching. Why do I have to guard matzot as opposed to almost any other thing? Because matzah has a stopwatch on it, it has a timer on it. you let too much time go by and it becomes chametz. So he says, I'll take et ha-matzot. Don't, in this context, read only matzot, as if the Torah was only speaking of matzot, ela et ha-mitzvot. But rather, it's talking about mitzvot. Now, in order to understand where this came from, back in source 4, when it says, u'shmartim et ha-matzot, the word matzot and the word mitzvot look very, very similar. Which means if you're reading in the Torah and there's no dots, as you would call them, or there's no indication how you pronounce that word, so it could either be read matzot or mitzvot, or ha-mitzvot. In Rashi, he writes mitzvot with two vavs, but that's in order, you know, to help us with the spelling and so on, or with the pronunciation. So Rashi tells us, al tiyakorei et ha-matzot el et ha-mitzvot. Kiderech sha'in machmitzin et ha-matzah. Just like you should not allow your matzah to become chametz, the word machmitzim, don't let your matzah become chametz, kach ein machmitzin et ha-mitzvah. Likewise, you should not let a mitzvah slip away from you. Ela imba liyadcha, aseh ota miyad. If a mitzvah presents itself, do it immediately. So, first thing I wanted to do is to give you a little musar, that now that you're going to be with your, those of you who are back home, so let me stress, you're with your parents, they ask you to do something, so don't put it off. That's what Rashi said, don't put it off. A mitzvah comes to your hands, take it as an opportunity to do it right away. It's not just your parents, I mean, that's a particular case, but any kind of mitzvah. A mitzvah comes right now, don't say, I'll do it later, I'll do it another time, I'll wait. No, a mitzvah comes, do it right away. But we have to know it's not really the same. If I'm lazy when I produce matzah and I let 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours go by, listen, I have other things to do, I wanted to watch this show, I wanted to go eat something, or whatever, that's great. You come back, 18 minutes went by, you don't have matzah anymore, you have chametz. But that's not the same thing in other situations. Your mother says, you know, please, you know, help me bring this, whatever, my Pesach dishes from the basement, bring it to the kitchen. So you know what? Does it really make a difference if you do it right away, or 18 minutes go by, or 20 minutes go by, or an hour goes by? It doesn't turn into chametz. Nonetheless, that's what Rashi just now said. Rashi just now taught us that when a mitzvah comes to your hand, al tachmitzena, don't let the mitzvah slip away. Rashi said, again, al tikur et ha-matzot, ela et ha-mitzvot. Again, ela et ha-mitzvot. Kederech she'ein machmitzin et ha-matzah, just like you shouldn't let the matzah become chametz, kach ein machmitzin et ha-mitzvah, don't let a mitzvah slip away or become chametz. That's a very, very strange term. Those of us who know modern Hebrew, it's actually a perfect usage. Modern Hebrew is lachmitz, means to miss an opportunity. Literally, it means to turn into chametz. So it's very funny that in modern Hebrew, I don't know if this was Ben Yehuda or someone else who used this term, but it's really interesting, missing an opportunity is lahachmitz, that it turned into chametz, literally. Rather, Rashi says, "Ela im ba liyadcha, aseh ota miyad," do it right away. And as I said, the question you have to ask yourself is, why is this? Why is this the case? Because again, on a fundamental level, you know, chas v'shalom arguing with Rashi, I'm going to try to explain Rashi, but on a fundamental level, that's not true. If you helped your mother an hour later, so you still helped your mother. What difference does it make if you wait an hour? Okay, I'm willing to admit that it's a little bit nicer if you do it right away. But it's not the same as chametz. It didn't turn into chametz. It didn't turn into something which is, again, the exact opposite of the mitzvah. Matzah and chametz are polar opposites. Either you have something which is kasher lePesach and it's matzah, or you have something which is absolutely not kasher lePesach and it's chametz. There is no middle ground over here. On the other hand, there's all kinds of mitzvot. Again, I can use an example. If a poor person comes and is looking for tzedakah, so that's interesting, because if you give them the money right away, so it's nice. If you cause them to wait, maybe it's not as nice. If God forbid he died because he's starving as he was waiting for you, okay, then it's a good example of what Rashi's saying. Not just that you missed the mitzvah, you can never do this mitzvah with this person because he just died. Are you responsible for this? Well, that becomes an interesting moral question. Nonetheless, okay, that would be an example that you missed an opportunity and had dire consequences. But let's be honest, that's not the average case. Again, all mitzvot bein adam l'chavero. Okay, you don't do it right away. But even mitzvot bein adam l'makom, between man and God, you get up in the morning, you're supposed to pray. So if you waited 10 minutes, you waited 15 minutes, you waited an hour, you waited 2 hours, you have, you know, 3 hours to sof zman kriyat shma. You have 4 hours to sof zman tefillah. So does it really make a difference the moment it comes, you know, the opportunity comes? There are people who like to pray vatikin. It's the first moment you can pray. Okay, that's a nice thing to do. But I can't say that if I didn't pray the first moment, that's it, it turned into chametz. I've missed the opportunity completely. And again, I'm going to say, I can't say that for a very simple reason. And that is because it's simply not the case. So if we go back and we try to proceed in the sources, we'll see that Rashi got this teaching from, we see in the Mechilta Ushmartim et HaMatzot, Rabbi Shaya Omer, Al Tikri Kein Elo Ushmartim et HaMitzvot. Kederech She'in Machmitzim et HaMatzah, just like you don't want matzah to turn into chametz, Kach Ein Machmitzim et HaMitzvah, Ela Imba Mitzvah Liyadcha, Asei Otcha Miyad. Now this is a nice thing, actually it reminds us a little bit of Benjamin Franklin, right? Early to rise, early to bed, you know, it's a nice thing. It's a nice idea. Do things right away. But why is this compared to chametz? So again, I just want you to appreciate, you know, where we are, where we're going to try to go with this. This week's parsha is parsha tzav. What do you see by tzav? Tzav means zeruz. Zeruz means rizut, quickly. On the other hand, the other thing that we read is it's Shabbat HaGadol. One of the things that is in Shabbat HaGadol is Shmartim et HaMatzah. What is that? It comes to your hand, Al Tachmitzena, which means do things right away. And therefore, there is this line which compares the Parsha of Tzav, Zrizut, Zeruz, do things quickly, together with the Parsha that we read, Parshat Shabbat HaGadol, where we read about don't miss an opportunity because it can turn the thing into chametz. Let's continue in the sources. Source number 7, Chidushei Agadot, it's the Maharal. Vani Omer, v'chein muchachim divrei chachma, ki mitzvot u'matzah, b'shvil kach korim v'shem. He's saying it can't be that these are completely unrelated because the words are quite similar. Mitzvot and matzot and mitzvah, they look like the root is the same, the letters are very similar. V'shvil kach krovim b'shem, ki ha-mitzvah hi kemo matzah. Because there is a line which connects between the two of them. Ki kasher oseh ha-mitzvah bizdakech nafsho min psola tachomri. Now, the Maharal has a special language which perhaps we're not familiar with. Over here he says that when a person does a mitzvah, they remove from it the parts of the soul, as it were, which are very, very physical. Which means a mitzvah takes the person who is spiritual and elaborates or focuses or accentuates the spiritual part of us. Kimoshe mizukach ha-matzah min ha-psolet shel ha-so'or shehu mityaches el ha-chet. And he says, and this is similar to the way that when one makes matzah, it gets rid of this other negative aspect of the entity. So let's try to understand what it is that he just now tried to say. There is a teaching in the Gemara that somehow chametz is connected to the Yetzer Hara. Maybe because it's all full of itself, it's puffy, you know, cake or challah, bread is soft and matzah is really minimal. It's like minimal bread. But it says that it's the sor shabi isa, according to the Gemara, is the Yetzer Hara. So he said that what happens to a person's soul when they do a mitzvah, they get rid of the negative parts of the personality. What is matzah compared to bread? It got rid of the negative part of the entity. So it's saying that matzah and mitzvah are similar because in both cases, the negative kind of disappears or is dealt with in an appropriate manner. Continue in the Maharal, and we'll see some more of Maharal in a moment. And he says, and therefore he quotes the source that Rashi was quoting from, a mitzvah balitcha al tach mitzena, don't let a mitzvah turn into chametz, midamran lashon al tach mitzena eitzel mitzvah, by virtue of the fact that it uses the terminology of turning into chametz by a mitzvah, shmani mina, we can learn from this, the mitzvah gamkin lashon matzah. We learned from this that mitzvah and matzah are similar or even identical in a certain sense, because if a mitzvah can turn into chametz, then a mitzvah must really be like matzah. Uvisifri gam kun darshu v'shmartim et ha-matzot, al tekru v'shmartim et ha-matzot, ela et ha-mitzvot. She'im bayadcha, mitzvah al tach mitzena, harei ki hakol inyan echad. So he's saying it's not just a wordplay, but rather there's something over here which points at the essence. In the book of Mesilat Yesharim, which really is one of the classic books of Jewish philosophy, it's been used to study Musar, which means character improvement. One of the elements that it speaks about is the idea of Zrizut, of how the things that we do should be done with Zrizut. Now, again, I want to stress what exactly is Zrizut, and this goes all the way back to the Rashi we saw in the beginning. Does it simply mean to do something fast? Which means, is Zrizut exclusively a time question? Or is it maybe attitudinal, or maybe it's something else? Which means, again, is it the moment that something, an opportunity represents, I should do it quickly? Or does Zrizut mean maybe, as I said, something a little different? And let's look at the Mesilat Yesharim, and then we'll go back to another source in the Maharal. The Mesilat Yesharim says, there's two aspects of Zrizut. One is before you even do the action. One is subsequent. Before you even start doing it, make sure you don't miss the opportunity. When you have a thought, a good thought, I want to do something positive. Again, I want to call a friend. I want to say happy birthday. I want to call a friend because, you know, I think they're a little down. Don't wait. He's saying, first thing is, the idea came to you, do it right away. So that would be speed. Ki ein sakana ki sakanato, asher hinei kol rege shemitchadesh uchalet chadesh eizi ikuv l'maseh atov. Just like a fleeting thought comes into your head and you don't grab it, a second fleeting thought can go into your head and take you to a whole other direction. And then there's something else that you realize that you wanted to do. Balmitat zeh davar, hirun zechon lebracha, the rabbis point out, binyan ha malchat Shlomo, when Shlomo was coronated, and we're going to skip his example over here and go a little bit further down. Al kain, his hirun zechon lebracha, the rabbis warned, ushmartim et ha-matzot, mitzvah baletcha al tach mitzena, that you should guard the mitzvot, or guard the matzot, al tach matzot al mitzvot, ushmartim et ha-matzot, mitzvot baletcha al tach mitzena. If a mitzvah comes here, don't let it turn into chametz, as it were. Va'amru la'olam yakdim adam l'dvar mitzvah, shelafiyach shakdima, and because a person should always be the first one to do a mitzvah, and again, he gives an example that we are leaving on the side. And he writes a little further, kehez rizuti midat shlemut gadol, asher tivo shalam mon'a mimenu ata, u'misha mitkaber v'tofespa, kol ma shiuchal, hine latid lavo yizkela ba'amet, asher borei yitbarach yinelo bischaro chelef ma shemishtadel acharea, Bizman Ovadato. So he just now added something. He's saying is that doing a mitzvah bizrizut changes the performance of the mitzvah. Which means there's something that my attitude could be, okay, I have to do this. And it's not just that I waste time, but I procrastinate. Why do I procrastinate? Because I don't really want to do it. So he's saying one thing about the mitzvah is do it right away, because otherwise the opportunity may disappear. You may forget about it. It may, again, disappear. But the second thing is attitudinal. Do a mitzvah right away, because in your heart and your soul, when something presents itself, you don't want that yetzer hara to come back. And again, I deliberately use the word yetzer hara, because that's the idea by chametz, that the chametz is like yetzer hara, but rather the performance of the mitzvah, the attitude towards the mitzvah, should be one of excitement, it should be one of joy, it should be one, okay, I have an opportunity, let me do this immediately. You know, one of the early commentaries, the Shla Kadosh, he said, pay attention that the word mitzvah, he felt that the root of the word was not commandment, rather it was bitzavta, togetherness. that when you do a mitzvah, you have a relationship with God, and you're doing something together with God, which means, again, let's just say that you fall in love, and there's this other person that you want to spend time with, and an opportunity presents itself. The issue is that you want to be with them. You want to be together with them. You want to spend the time with them, which means it's this question of attitude. It's not just meaning when they ask you to do something, you say yes, not because they commanded you, but because they gave you an opportunity of being together. And as I said, the Shlah therefore insisted that the very word mitzvah really means mitzavta, to be together with God. And that's what I'm saying, the attitude. Mitzvah lebetcha al tachmitzena, don't let it turn into chametz, but rather you have this opportunity, do this right away. Going back to the Maharal in source number 9 is the Gur Aryeh. The Gur Aryeh is the commentary of the Maharal on Rashi, which means this is a commentary on Rashi. So he explains what Rashi said. Rashi set up this analogy, which he had learned from other sources. He goes, certainly, the simple reading of this is don't mess up the matzah. Daha matzah ktiv. I mean, it says matzah, it doesn't say mitzvah. So he says this analogy is in order to teach us that there's some kind of a connection. He goes, again, don't confuse yourself. It really means don't let too much time go by and let the flour and water turn into chametz. V'im toma mayin yanze. He goes, but what exactly did Chazal want from us? What does Rashi want to teach us? What does the Mechilta that he was citing from want to, or the Torah Tikkunim want to teach us? No, the Mechilta want to teach us. The time of the Shayach b'matzah, lo Shayach b'mitzvah, but they're really not the same, and this is what I mentioned earlier. 18 minutes go by, that's it, it's chametz, it's ruined. It becomes the total opposite. U'mikol shkein shedivrei tema sherashi hevi midrash zeh, Rashi insists that he always wants to teach us the simple, straightforward reading of the text. How can he bring this when it's so foreign from the text? Rather, he's teaching the same way you shouldn't miss the opportunity of making matzah, don't miss the opportunity of mitzvah. How are they connected? They're not the same. One is 18 minutes, you blew it. It's chametz. The other, so you do it in 19 minutes, in 20 minutes, in 25 minutes. Umukoshkin shediber tema sherashi vi midrash zu toch perushov urachuk mod b'pshuto yir edavadai tam echad l'shneim. He goes, rather, there must be some common denominator in the core between the two of them. Ki yasra Torah chametz, the Torah did not allow chametz, v'asra gam kin ikuv ad shetavo l'dei chimutz. Didn't allow the chametz, it didn't allow the delay until it becomes chametz. Sherei lo yispik lachmitz, namely, it didn't have time for it to become chametz. V'inyan zeh hayam ibn eshen nikla melech machayim lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lo yispik isatam lachmitz, just like when we left Egypt, we left so quickly, it didn't have time for it to rise. V'me'achu shen nikla leh melech machayim lachim en kam ikuv. So he says, remember, I just explained this idea. Why is it we want to do our mitzvot quickly? So he says, because God took us out of Egypt so quickly. He says, remember, go back to the real basic idea. Where do we get this idea of chametz? Because we left so quickly, we didn't have time for the bread to rise. Why do we leave so quickly? What's the answer? Because God took us out of Egypt quickly. So if God took us out of quickly, so it's sort of like a payback, as it were, so far. It's about to get deeper. It's a payback, as it were, so when we do our mitzvot, we also want to do them quickly. But then he adds, v'inyanim ha-sichliyim pu'ulatam shelo bizman. But he says, when it comes to intellectual processes, the mind, the brain, they don't always work within the realm of time. And this, as I said, just kind of interesting, because how do we get out of the realm of time? Man lives within time. Because they don't act within the realm or the limits of time or where time exists. So those of you who have totally lost me by now, so it's not me who has lost you, it's the Maharal. The Maharal really is one of the great thinkers in Jewish history. And what the Maharal just now started to say, and we're going to go back inside and look again, what he started to say is that the intellect which we have is not really part of the physical body. The intellect is part of something else, which means we have a mind which is part of something which is larger, which I haven't explained yet. Now, what exactly is the part of man that makes us in the image of God? Is it our soul? And if yes, if it's the soul, it's very difficult to point your finger at a soul. Is it the soul, the neshama? Is it the intellect? And the truth is, a lot of early commentators, I won't say debated this point, but they stress different things. There were those who understood that God gave man intellect. It's the intellect that makes us so much more, I don't want to use the word godly, but the ability to have a relationship with God. Which means the rest of creation can't really have a relationship. It's our intellect that allows that relationship. You can argue that it's our soul which allows that relationship, but the Maharal right now is talking about this idea of thought and how thought is incredibly important. And he just now mentioned how thought exists outside of time. So I want to add one more element to this, and then we'll go back to the Maharal. God is out of time. I mean, that's the obvious thing that we should be thinking of. God exists out of time, and now let's go back and see exactly what the Maharal is telling us. He says over here, "Vanina sichliim pulatam shelo bizman." Intellectual processes are outside of time. They don't operate within the regular, shall we say, beginning, middle, end. Thoughts are somewhat amorphous. And the more, shall we say, elevated thought that exists, it can exist outside of time. And here he said what I hinted at before. He was trying to tell us that God exists out of time completely. And he goes, the reason that we're not allowed to let the bread become, or the matzah become bread, is because God is outside of time. V'yaf mitzvah and mitzvot elokim, and God's commandments as well, shehu dvar Hashem, which is the word of God, havali yadcha al tach mitzena. When it comes to mitzvot, the opportunity presents itself, don't let it turn into chametz. Ki dvar Hashem hu mutal alav lasot b'lizman. Because when God tells you something, you do it without even considering the issues of time. Not regarding things within the physical world, the non-holy world. Shehim gashmiim, because they're made of gashmi, they're part of the physical world. Shehim tachat hazman nitunim, because they're part of this world which exists within time. So let's again pause again, and then we'll come back to this point. Morel is telling us that the performance of a mitzvah is an attempt to have a relationship with God. But how can you have a relationship with a being that exists outside of time? God is outside of time. How can I possibly relate to a being outside of time? And the Maharal gave an answer so far, and that answer is, well, the part of us which is our intellect is also somehow amorphous and maybe in some way outside of time. But he said that when we have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, we rush to do the mitzvah. The reason you rush to do the mitzvah is because you are trying to somehow break not the sound barrier, but the time barrier. And I know that that so far is completely bizarre, so let's try again and continue in the Maharal and see how he explains it. He started to say the mitzvot are godly, the word of God, and therefore if they come, the opportunity presents, don't let it turn into chametz. Ki dvar shemutal alav lasot b'lizman, because things that are godly are outside of time. Lo kamo dvarim shochol, Shem gashmim, shem tachad hazman netunim. Aval eilu dvarim einu tachad hazman. These things are not within time. V'tzorach lasoto tam miyad. We have to do them immediately. V'zeo dat chachamim ka'asher tidakteik behem. And he goes, and that's the words of the rabbis, if you're really careful in reading him. V'im hu machmitz et ha-mitzvah. If you miss the mitzvah. Again, mizet avin ki ma she'in machmitzin et ha-matzah. If you, just like if you turn, She'in mach min tzinah matzah. You don't want the matzah to turn into chametz. Ve'et ha-mitzvah inyan echud, they're the same. Shem inyan zman ve'elu advarim. She'in sham. I read that again. She'in sham inyan zman ve'elu advarim. These things should not exist within zman, within time. Now, again, I'm not so sure to what extent we really understood, but the Maharal wrote another book called the Netivot Olam, and he comes back to this idea again. He says, "Kamo shamar Yehuda ben Tema." I hope you remember Pirkei Avot. Havei az kanamer v'kal kaneshi v'ratz kitzvi v'gibor ka'ari lasot ritzon avicha b'shamayim. The Tana Yehuda ben Tema said, "Take a look at these various animals, and you should be strong or quick or whatever like the animals are." Az kinamer, swift like the namer, kal kinesher, light like the nesher, ratz kitzvi, run like the tzvi, v'gibor ka'ari, and so on, to do the will of your Father in heaven. Uke var bi'ar nuzem amar b'komo v'od, he had another book on Pirkei Avot, v'od yit v'er b'dit v'ot hazrizut, I'm going to explain this again when I speak about the paths of zrizut, kibala has here et adam al zrizut hagadol b'mitzvot. This comes to teach you this great trait of zrizut, of doing things quickly. Ubishvil zegam kein amru mitzvah shabali etcha altach mitzena klomar shal yeh hasor shabisa. Don't allow this thing which is chametz hu hayetzer hara ma'akev al yadcha milasot mitzvah. Just like the saor, which is the yeast which causes the bread to rise, which causes matzah to become chametz, which is the yetzer hara, that can affect all mitzvot and stop you from doing the mitzvah. V'yod, b'bnei kiyam mitzvah shehi elokit eino tachat hazman. And now he came back to this idea again, and he says that the mitzvah, because it's godly, it doesn't exist within time. Ki hadavar gashmi hu tachat hazman. Physical things are within time. U'lefichach amar b'zeh lashon al tach mitzena. Don't let it turn into chametz. Ki chametz naseh b'zman, because chametz happens when you let the matzah somehow fall within the world of time, and too much time went on, and it became chametz. U'lekach lemdu rezal, the rabbis taught, davar zemin u'shmartem et ha-matzot, al tikri matzot, ela u'shmartem et ha-mitzvot. Ela u'shmartem et ha-mitzvot. Not al tikri u'shmartem et ha-matzot, ela u'shmartem et ha-mitzvot. Ki ha-mitzvah v'matzvah shneim davar echad. Ki ha-mitzvah ha-elokit eino tachat hazman, u'lechein al tach mitzen ela akev ota liot nase bizman. Don't limit it. So, v'chein ha-matzah m'bnei ki Yisrael yotzim mitzrayim b'ma'ala il-yona sha'inu tachat hazman kemo shet b'er b'mukomo l'chein tziva al-achilat matzah. So, again, I want to try to explain this, and again, on our level, that we can understand this. He's not only talking about speed. Speed is one element of it. The other element, as I keep going back to, is a question of attitude. We do mitzvot quickly, because we want to try to break the confines of time. So I'm going to continue to explain this, and part of my explanation is going to be the Maharal, because the whole thing is based on the Maharal. And part of it will be one of the great teachers of the Maharal in the 20th century, and his name was Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, and in the Pachad Yitzchak, and if you recall, we quoted something from a letter he wrote last week. This week we're going to quote the Pachad Yitzchak, the first Ma'amar, or essay that he wrote on Psachim, on Pesach. He explains that this idea of speed that the Maharal is speaking about is that we do things quickly because we are aware that God took a soul from heaven, from outside of time and space and matter, and he put it in this world, which exists within time, space, and matter. But when we have a relationship with God, what we're really trying to do is to burst through those limitations of time. We're trying to get out of the physical world that we're stuck in and have a relationship with the divine who's completely transcendent. Now, on a certain level, that's impossible. How could man who's physical have a relationship with the transcendent? Nonetheless, the Maharal, Rav Huttner, said we can. How do you have a relationship? You do a mitzvah. And I'm going back again, adding the Shla Kadosh. What is a mitzvah? Mitzavta, together. you get to hang out with that, now I don't want to say that person, you get to hang out with that being. Is God really a being? I don't even know how to say this. You get to hang with God, but God is outside of time. God gave you a commandment. Doing the commandment bezrizut is an expression that I want to burst through the limitations that I have in this physical world and try to have a relationship with God who's in some other type of world, God who is outside of time, space, and matter. And having said that, I want to, you know, take this idea a little bit further. What he's really telling us is one of the, you know, the essence of Pesach that we then distill and we use the entire year for all mitzvot is that God took us out of Egypt so quickly there was no time for the bread to rise, and therefore the mitzvah of matzah. We need to do our mitzvot, make the matzah quickly to make sure that it doesn't rise. And our mitzvot we need to do so quickly because we want to have a relationship with God. And God asked us to do something, and therefore we can have a relationship with the divine. So therefore, in a certain sense, Pesach and matzah represents quickness of time and represents a desire to break the limitations of time. And what Pesach is about is relation to God, relating to God in terms of time. Okay? Full stop. You know, we have two other holidays. We have two other holidays which are considered to be what we call the main holidays, which means the Shalosh Regalim. The other ones are, of course, Pesach leads to Shavuot, and then we have Sukkot. One thing about Shavuot, okay, so for time, I think Sukkot would tell us something about space. Sorry, Shavuot would tell us about space. What happened on the holiday Shavuot? And there's two elements. One element is that what it's about is that's Matan Torah. Where did Matan Torah happen? By Har Sinai. Where was Har Sinai? We have absolutely no idea. The other thing about the holiday of Shavuot is that, and we discussed this last week again, that Matan Torah, and this is really the Ramban's idea, Matan Torah somehow turns into the Mishkan. The Mishkan is where we place the Aseret HaDibrot. The Aseret HaDibrot, again, is what we received on the holiday of Matan Torah. And we take those Aseret HaDibrot and we place them inside the Mishkan. Where in the Mishkan? We place them in the Aron. What is the Aron? The Aron, it's an ark. Now, I want to go back one step. What do we know about Har Sinai? Truth is, we know absolutely nothing about it. We have no idea where it is. It's space, which the space itself has become, in a certain sense, meaningless space because we have no connection to that space because, I'll say it again, we don't know where that space is. Which leads me again to something which I think is interesting regarding the holiday of Shavuot or regarding the Mishkan or regarding the Aseret HaDibrot. Take a look a little bit further down over here in source 14. The Gemara in Yoma says, "Amar Blevi Davis and Misora Biyadenu Mavotenu, Makom Aron Eino Min Hamida." The exact place where the Aron stood, mathematically, it didn't fit and it didn't work in the Mishkan. If you've never heard this, I'm sorry that it's bizarre, and it continues and explains. It somehow, it was miraculous. Which means the math, when you look at the math of the building of the Mishkan, everything makes sense except for one thing, which was there, but it wasn't there. It was there miraculously. It took up space, but it took up no space. And what was that? The Aron. What was in the Aron? The Luchot. And the Luchot, that's what happened by the holiday Shavuot, where God speaks and gives us the Aseret HaDibrot. Aseret HaDibrot is on Sinai. The place becomes a meaningless place. We don't know where that place is. The place that we took the Aseret HaDibrot and placed it in the Mishkan, that place also became completely miraculous and takes up no space. And I would venture to say this is the exact same idea. Pesach is about transcendence in terms of time, but we can't transcend time. So what do? We rush and we do it so quickly as if we're trying to beat the limits of time. On the other hand, the holiday Shavuot and the Aseret HaDibrot, they're transcendent. The mitzvot are transcendent. And I'll say it again, because what is a mitzvah? It's bitzavta. It's having a relationship with God. And that is, in a sense, it's transcendent. The third holiday that we have is the holiday of Sukkot. So what does it say about how you build the Sukkah? It says something which I think is interesting. When it describes how we go about to build the sukkah, one of the things that it says, here we're looking down at source 18, V'chag asif b'tzeit shana. Sukkot is the holiday of gathering at the end of the year. You gather all the things that you did during the year from the field. What else do we learn about Chag Sukkot? When you gather, you gather from the Goren and from the Yekev. What is the Goren and the Yekev? The Goren and the Yekev is where you grow the wheat and where you grow the vine. Really, wheat and wine, which is interesting. Just going back to the Pesach theme, you drink the four coats or cups, which is rabbinic. On the other hand, you take the wheat and you turn it into matzah and, of course, never bread. What, however, does the Gemara say, which Rashi here quotes on source 20? Bismana asif, in the time of gathering, shetamachnis lebayit peirot hakayitz, that is the end of the summer. You take in all of the summer fruits. Dabar achi basvacha migarncha mikevacha mikevcha. Limed shemisachin et asukah bipsolet goren v'yekev. So the fact that it's this end of the year and it's telling you the holiday of Sukkot is when you gather, he says you gather in order to make the sukkah. The physical building of the sukkah should be made from things which have no value, which things which are, you know, completely not, in a certain sense, part of this world because it's of no value whatsoever. I think what the message over here is that there's three realms the physical world operates on: time, space, and matter. Holiday of Passover, of Pesach, is somehow we do things quickly. It's all about speed. Why? We're trying to break the limitations of time. The holiday Shavuot, receiving the mitzvot, receiving the Seret HaDibrot, where it took place, immediately it was forgotten. We take the Zuchot and put it in a place which exists miraculously, and that is somehow trying to transcend space. When it comes to the building of the sukkah is this temporary abode. We have beautiful homes, but we leave the home and we build the sukkah, but you use things which are really of no value whatsoever, because in a sense we're trying to transcend matter. We leave the house that is of value. We leave the things which are of value. And I think that this is the exact same idea. It is this idea of transcendence. Which means, when we learned in Rashi from the very beginning, that the concept is that you do the mitzvah quickly, it's not just about speed. It's attitude. I do a mitzvah quickly because the king of the universe, who created the universe, who sustains the universe, who's outside of the universe, asked me, a person who's limited in every single way, especially in terms of time, space, and matter, asks me to do a mitzvah. At that moment, this concept of zrizut should come in. Not the zrizut that I want to get over with. I told my wife a number of times. First time I told her, she thought it was the funniest thing. That, you know, we have mitzvot aseh shezman gorma. We're obligated to do things at certain times. I said, all afternoon, there are many, many men, all afternoon, this is what's in their head. Am I before mincha? Am I after mincha? Did I pray mincha? Did I not pray mincha? And there's some people pray mincha as quickly as they can so that they can, you know, put a check next to the mincha. Okay, I did mincha. I got that out of the way. The idea of zrizut is not to push something out of the way. The idea of zrizut is not saying, okay, that was taken care of, that was done with, now I got one less thing to worry about. The idea of doing something quickly is not a question of checking something off the list. I'm going to say it again. We really saw a hint of this in Mesilat Yesharim. Mitzvah comes, okay, don't let it slip away, because there's so many things that slip in our minds and out of our minds, but that's not the idea. When the mitzvah comes, do it right away, because now you can somehow transcend this world of this physical world and have a relationship with the creator and sustainer of the universe who's outside of time, space, and matter. You can have a relationship with God, and that's the speed. Pesach is about the beginning of the relationship with God for the Jewish people. So at that moment, it gives us this opportunity, this incredible opportunity to, again, I'll say, to have this relationship, to sort of break out of the limits of time in order to have time with God. I know that sounds completely contradictory, but that itself is what this holiday is about. It's represented by the matzah. Matzah and taking your time, doing things slowly, do not work together. Matzah has to be done quickly. matzah has to be done as quickly as possible. If it's done in any other way, then it completely does not work. I wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom.